Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a guy who's looking forward to 2023. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who are still on Christmas holiday vacation. Wait a minute. So am I. Woohoo! We are watching The Girl Who Loved Power Glide, episode 35 of season 2. Kids, Christmas has recently passed. We're still filled with a bit of holiday cheer. Cookies and fruitcake. So maybe you'd like to share some Transformers-related gifts you got this year.
Okay, I'll go first. Sure. I got a Siege Starscream that is in his Cybertronian version.
Oh,
so he's
nice.
Not a jet, but mm-hmm. he's like a...
The Cybertronian jet we saw in episode one.
He's kind of like a hover jet stuff. I like him. He's cool.
Nice.
I got Kingdom Slammer and Studio Series Thrust. They are both... amazing.
I haven't looked at Slammer very much, but the Thrust is very cool. I love the color scheme on that.
What'd you get, Dad?
Oh, thank you for asking. I got the coolest drawing of Optimus Prime dressed as Santa Claus, drawn by you, Elsa.
Hi.
He has a big beard, squinty eyes, and there's snow collecting around his windows on his chest. Chef's kiss.
That's an amazing detail.
Yes.
I told Dad that for every season, I'll draw him a new one, so he'll get one for spring, summer, and fall.
I can't wait. All right. Also, listeners, this is our final episode of the year, and I just wanted to say thank you for making this a very enjoyable 2022. Especially recently, we've kind of had a good influx of new listeners, new countries. Thank you from all over the world. All our new listeners, and we still have enough episodes to fill up 2023, so we hope you will join us.
We have quite enough episodes.
Written by David Wise and airing on November 18th, 1985, this is The Girl Who Loved Power Glide. Okay, we begin this episode at Avengers Tower.
Huh?
The building that this rooftop party takes place, it looks a lot like Tony Stark's Avengers Tower. Like a lot. Like the
wow.
The most distinct feature of that building, the kind of
platform,
jutting out
the
landing
L-shaped
pad.
Top.
Yeah. Looks exactly like this building.
Well, it's for a party.
Yeah. Also, need to note that this is taking place in New York, we assume, based on several clues, and also that it's written by David Wise, who always seems to write in different locations and quite a few in New York. So yeah, there's this very colorful rooftop party with a lot of almost like modern art kind of, and balloons
and
then
party hats.
All of the old grumpy businessmen are wearing silly party hats, and they don't like it.
I love it.
But they're doing it to appease their new boss, the chairman of the board. Here we are introduced to the female lead of this episode. This is Astoria Carlton Ritz, named after hotels. But she's in charge of, this is Hybrid Technologies Corporation. As we will hear later, her father passed away. But now she's running this giant tech corporation. Boy, what do we think of Astoria?
She's okay.
In my notes, I wrote she's a bit extra. Like, she starts chewing out the guys wearing the hats, calling them old geezers, and...
You invited them there.
Yeah.
It's your birthday party.
She can't stand this prison. She quotes the Leslie Gore song, "It's my party and I'll cry if I want to." But the party's interrupted by the Coneheads. And we have all three this time.
Ooh.
All... three of them. I can't name any.
Yes,
like, Thruster and Ramjet.
Oh,
okay.
Those Coneheads.
All right, let's play a game. Identify them.
You just said them, Thruster and Ramjet.
Which ones are they?
Ramjet is the white one. Thrust is the red one. Dirge is the blue one.
Congratulations, you win a prize.
I do have to look it up every time, but I think this is... So, in watching season two, I guess I didn't realize how many times they would be featured in episodes, but it's usually like one or two. You know, like Ramjet and Thrust get a lot of screen time, but this is the first time in a while that we've had all three.
Ramjet seems to be the unifying factor, because
yes.
It's always Thrust and Ramjet, Ramjet and Dirge, or Thrust, Dirge, and Ramjet.
So the Coneheads are attacking the party. They're blowing up all the balloons. Astoria lets out a blood-curdling scream, which seems to alert the presence of our main Autobot. This is Power Glide.
Yippee! I love Power Glide.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got competition.
That's not what I meant, because he's an A-10.
Power Glide's flying in. He lets out, I guess, his catchphrase. He says, "It's hero time."
Hmm? Never heard that one before.
I don't know. I kind of like that. And then he drops a rope. Astoria grabs onto it. And then she goes
flying.
She goes flying Jackie Chan style. So now she's inside a Power Glide. And here's where I wanted to point something out. So where we live, we have a lot of A-10 activity. There's a base nearby, and we see them in the air maybe every 3 days. They're
very
flying
common.
All over the place, and we love them. They're one of the coolest jets out there.
You've even seen them in person, not 100 feet in the sky.
Yes, we saw them very up close. So that's why I have to point out that the design of the inside of this A-10 is... A Power Glide is not accurate to an actual A-10.
Completely wrong.
Yeah, it seems to be more like a space shuttle cabin.
Private jet.
There's two seats next to each other, and it's very roomy. Whereas the A-10...
It's a jet built around a Gatling gun.
Very true. So one of the main features of the A-10 is its 30mm cannon, which can fire up to, I believe it's like 70 rounds a second once it gets to its top speed. Now here, kids, I'm pulling up this cross section. So look at this. So here's the whole gun near the front. And then this here is the ammo drum. So that's where the pilot sits. And this is just all the avionics. That's the fuel. That's the engine. So
there's no room.
You can kind of cut it into thirds. But most of it, of the activity, is built around this gigantic gun, the Tank Buster.
So there's no room.
That is not the case with Power Glide. It's so roomy inside that Astoria is not buckled in, and she's just getting flung around the walls. There's one point where she's just kind of like just serenely pinned against the wall like a Gravitron. Look.
But just one frame, she's stuck there.
Yeah. Now, this is where we kind of learn of her, I don't know, is this like a character trait where... Astoria says that she doesn't really get along with machines very well.
It's kind of a character trait.
She starts pushing buttons, sending Power Glide into a dive.
Well, she doesn't know. Yeah, she barely gets to see anything. That's what is revealed later. So she's not really good in relationship with machines. Well, except for this one.
Except for this one, Power Glide, who manages to evade the Coneheads by landing on a completely deserted highway. Did you notice that? There's not a single car. So he lands and hides under an overpass. And this is where they have their meet cute. Well, is it really? Because she's kind of smitten with him right away. He's a little bit. He's kind of like scratching his head. Then she wants to go flying and he just flings. He kind of slaps her.
I mean, I would be scared too if a human let... double their height in the air to my arm.
But then he tells her to shut up. He's a little forceful with her, I think.
I know, and I'm not saying this just because she's a woman, but you shouldn't do that with anyone.
I do like how they hold hands a lot. But he takes her to, and this is what we've seen before. This is our New York continuity. This is the spark plug garage / kind of auxiliary Teletran 1.
Yeah.
That we've seen in Make Tracks and Autobop.
Yeah.
And they pull up Optimus Prime.
Oh, where is he? Oh.
He's back at the Ark, and they're trying to figure out why they want her. Probably she has access to secret information that the Decepticons want, and it's still not figured out quite yet. But look who we see here. It's Spike.
Hello.
Boo.
Human.
This is the first time we've seen Spike in 7 episodes. He was in Quest for Survival, and I believe he was in like a group shot real quick in the episode after that. In Child's Play, I think. But he's here in his dad's garage trying to hit on Astoria, but it doesn't go very well. So much where he just starts making accidents and setting an engine block on fire. Instantly jealous.
He's a robot. Did I stutter? I mean, who could blame Astoria? He's pretty good looking. What do he looks like without that faceplate?
But then Astoria and Power Glide leave because she's hungry. So they hold hands and leave the garage. And then we get back to Megatron. More Megatron than we've seen in a while.
Yeah. And he's really mad this episode.
Extremely mad and extremely frustrated. So he sends a Coneheads back out to go get her. And now we're in, I guess this is kind of like Central Park, maybe? But first, she wants to take a ride on the carousel.
With Power Glide.
We have this amazing shot where Power Glide is riding a carousel horse, scaling be darned.
He's a mini bot. He's fine.
Yeah.
Wait, that's why he's so hollow. He just folds up.
After the carousel, Power Glide is trying to persuade her, and he says something very weird. He doesn't call it the Ark. He doesn't call it headquarters. He says, "We got to get you back to the volcano."
The what? I mean, technically, it isn't a volcano, but...
Yeah, the first time I watched this, it's like, wait, what is he talking... Volcano? Like, oh, he means the Ark. But I guess, do they...
That's across the country, sir.
It is. I'm not sure they ever call it the Ark in G1. Do they? It seems David Wise was writing this. He's like, I've wrote 10 episodes already, but, oh, man, we never quite have a name for their headquarters, so I'm just going to go with the volcano. But before that, the Coneheads show back up, and they run at them into commercial one. Flailing their limbs, and now the fight is on. Ramjet picks up the carousel, throws it at Power Glide, but Power Glide kind of does like a ride on jump and avoids getting crushed.
And he gets hit on the head with the horse from it.
Oh, he does.
Donk.
Yeah, but then he retaliates. He shoots the, I'll say, soda machine for all you non-Midwesterners.
This made me laugh out loud. I don't know. I was just seeing this super cool fight scene, and then he... busts it open. There's just enough liquid to propel them back.
Yeah,
so
and then
I love it.
He shoots,
it's comedy.
He shoots the tent onto them, like kind of the tent falls on them. Power Glide and Astoria run away, holding hands again, and this is very prolonged shot of them sort of kind of slow motion running. Very dramatically romantic.
I love this whole scene. The carousel, the fight.
It's a unique fight. Definitely.
The vending machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
Even the little animation detail when the Coneheads are struggling, you see their pointy heads kind of pushing against the fabric. Nice little detail. Good job, Toei. And then Ramjet literally rams a jet, flies into Power Glide, and breaks off a piece of his wing.
Congratulations. You did your duty.
Living up to his name.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually Power Glide does land. And when he transforms, he has an injured arm.
Oh, no.
It's accurate to where his arm is.
It is. Astoria, she rips off a piece of the bottom of her dress and kind of wraps it like a tourniquet. I'm not sure how robot anatomy works.
It prevents
like that,
sand from getting inside.
It does. That she did say he kind of, you know, starts maybe having a bit of feelings for her that she actually cares.
And then the Coneheads show up.
Yes. The Coneheads have chased them across the entire country and immediately start firing. Power Glide gets blown off a cliff. Dirge takes the opportunity to fire his kind of torso missiles and buries Power Glide in a bunch of boulders.
They
grab Astoria and fly off.
Oh, no.
And Power Glide vows to get Astoria back. But he's too injured. He transforms into a plane and he tries to take off but can't. So who shows up but the two scientist dudes? We have Ratchet and Wheeljack.
Where's Perceptor?
Nah.
No, it's just these guys.
The repair dudes.
There's enough scaling issues in this scene that we don't need another robot. Wheeljack is inside of Ratchet, and then he puts Power Glide in there too. So now we have a gigantic fighter jet and a car getting into a minivan.
Ambulance.
Minivan ambulance.
I mean, Hoist got into the minibot Huffer. He's fine.
I know.
What?
And now we're back at the volcano. That's what he's calling it. Ratchet is trying to put Power Glide back together, but he's really having none of it. He gets up, closes his chest.
Can I fly? Yeah, but okay, then I'll go.
Yeah.
But the trick is, he can't fly without getting hurt again.
Yeah, yeah, he asks, yeah. And then he says, well, can I fly? Yeah, then you're done.
I hate it when Ratchet is just like, but fine, you go crash.
Yeah, he throws his arms up. So Power Glide meets up with Prime. And they said they're still in the dark about the Decepticons' plan. But then they're in the dark no longer, because Teletran 1 said that Sky Spy has found that the Decepticons have a suborbital floating station.
Sky Spy just knows everything.
7 miles up. I wouldn't even call it a MacGuffin. No, that's not the MacGuffin. Her necklace is the MacGuffin. This is the power stealing plot of the week. But it seems they'd make a bigger deal out of this. It's a gigantic floating platform. It bringing it back to Avengers, it's like the floating island of Sokovia from Age of Ultron.
We didn't talk about her necklace. We didn't say anything about that. We need to.
Okay, yes. Yes, her necklace was given to her by her father before he passed, correct?
Yes, and she vowed not to take it off.
Yes, because it contains the code or something.
The plans for some energy conversion thing.
Yes, which is what Megatron needs to complete his station, to suck the magnetic field from the Earth and turn it into raw energon.
Yeah.
Which would probably destroy the planet while doing it. But maybe he has another space bridge packed away like he did before. It's like, yeah. If the Earth blows up, oh well.
Oh, and he just sneaks off. We're drilling to the center of the Earth?
Yeah.
I really don't care.
So now we have a great scene where Astoria and Megatron are kind of going back and forth. And this is what I like about her. She's not a damsel in distress. She basically talks back to Megatron to the point where he's like sputtering and shaking his fist. He's so mad. He's so frustrated.
Hey, you got any burgers in this joint?
Yeah, she's hungry again. I love it. She's...
Yeah, I didn't get any food before.
Yeah, she never got her hot dog and pop. She went on the. She wasted time on the carousel.
But then you wouldn't have gotten Megatron this angry, so starving is paying off.
Yeah, so he's had enough of her, and now he's going to use the Psycho Probe.
What's that?
It's basically a device that will surround you with pink energy as we go into commercial 2.
With no ill effects at all at first.
Well, when we get back, Soundwave, who's kind of manning the machine, says that the subject's mind is completely empty. Now,
she's stupid.
Well, that's the obvious thing. Or she is kind of doing... This is very, again, very much sort of like Force Awakens, when Kylo Ren is kind of probing Rey in the chair that kind of looks exactly like this.
You see,
with all the torture probe devices, but like where she kind of turns it against them.
Or maybe they're referring to the energy formula, meaning, hey, their mind's empty of
yes.
that. Like,
she does say that she was never told the formula or anything. She's doing very well getting tortured by giant robots.
I know. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care.
That pink energy did nothing. No screaming at all, just
I was
there.
Yeah, she's kind of laughing it off. Her superhero ability to have machines... malfunction around her. The little probes just kind of pop off her head and she giggles about it.
They keep sliding off.
She's the accidental circuit breaker.
Yeah. Soundwave is trying to repair the psycho probe and then her ability to have machines malfunction in her presence kind of causes it to feed back and electrocutes Soundwave and Rumble, which then shorts out the force field around their floating fortress, which allows Power Glide to get through.
Hey, he's in.
I love Megatron's body language. He points to his head and then does the finger wave.
There's a lot of acting from him. He holds his head with both hands when he's getting frustrated, shaking his fist. When he's talking about the psycho probe, he kind of scratches his chin. 90,000 volts. She's just laughing through the whole thing. She's kind of an amazing character. I love her.
I know, she's awesome.
Because also, like, she kind of is, at the beginning of the episode, she kind of does, like, the Valley Girl accent, you know, like, oh, totally gross. But then she would be more annoying if they kept that going. But
they stopped.
I think they kind of forget about that. She slips out of her shackles. And then here's where she knows that she vowed never to take off her necklace, but she's going to take it off and throw it into the antenna tower of the floating platform. Very cool anime glow off of it with the close-up before she throws it.
She's got a good throw. It threw all the way up.
Extremely accurate.
She's got to chuck the formula to save him.
Yep. Yes.
Quoted by her.
She does it all for Powerglide. And then that one thing sends the platform into an immediate dive.
Hey, maybe it was functioning off the magnetic field of the Earth.
Yeah, could be.
And that's how they were able to harness it.
It's enough for the Decepticons to completely abandon all their plans and fly off.
Fly down, apparently.
Fly down. Powerglide kind of pushes her nearly off the platform.
He's just like, okay, get out of here. Oh no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then he has a parachute come out of his hand with a really like Hanna-Barbera sound effect. It was like,
who gave that to you, Wheeljack?
Yeah. But then she says no and throws it away.
And they just walk up the wall.
You dummy, look what you did. Your chance of survival gone. But the ocean's down there.
They're going to stick together. She's strong enough to rip a panel off of the control board.
She's so strong.
Mm-hmm. Powerglide rigs it where he should be able to steer it, but nothing's happening. And then he's like, oh, it's her with her bad luck machinery. So
get back out.
Yeah, he says, get out of here, and pushes her out the door.
I fixed it perfectly. What could have gone wrong? You!
Yeah, you're the problem. Get out of here.
He just throws her out.
She gets thrown like Jazz out of Uncle Phil's house.
All the time.
And then he has control and sets the course for the Decepticon underwater base.
It's still heading downward. Shouldn't they be flying up, though?
Yeah, they take off. And then... I believe this ending moment for the Decepticons is supposed to be as funny as it is.
I love it.
Yeah, they kind of walk in. They're like, well, and like, honey, we're home. And then they notice their base crashing.
This is when I laughed out loud. Again. Energize the force fields. What force fields?
Yes! They don't have force fields, so the whole thing just crashes right into their base. Starts a flood.
Again. Like the millionth flood in this season.
And then Megatron gets on the loudspeaker and says,
school announcement.
New orders! Clean up this mess! And then it's like a wah, 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 sort of ending. And now we're back outside Sparkplug's garage, and Astoria and Powerglide are kind of saying their goodbyes, but not forever. You know, once you're back in town, take her flying, and he's doing his kind of, And they kiss. She kisses his faceplate. And she goes giggling off into her limo with her butler.
Ratchet and Ironhide just laughing.
Yeah, right. When Sparkplug says, oh, who knew that he would be shot down by Cupid?
Everyone's laughing except for Optimus because he's a nice guy.
Yeah, Optimus
doesn't care.
No. And Powerglide does this really weird bow-legged walk back into the garage. And then the most famous scene, he opens his chest cavity to the camera and we see a beating mechanical heart.
I love it.
Aww.
And we fade out. So that is the girl who loved Powerglide. As I hear a jet flying over our house right now. And away we go. Oh, we forgot. He said that.
Yeah, he said that as the force field shut down. His catchphrase.
Yes. So he has his two catchphrases. And away we go. And it's hero time.
Which we probably never hear again.
No. And we never see Astoria again. Another one-off character who I think is extremely charming.
She's great.
Telling you, whoever gets that Transformers comic license, I want the adventures of Raoul and Trax and Powerglide and Astoria.
And they're both in New York, so they can cross paths. Oh.
I got to start taking some notes. All right, but before we do that, what did we think of the girl who loved Powerglide? Emmett.
10 out of 10. This was amazing. I loved it. The humor was spot on. Everything just felt right. I liked the relationship dynamic. What can I say? It's amazing.
Elsa.
8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. One, like a ship dynamic, which is like arguing with each other, but then ends up loving each other, is one of my favorites. That's why I love the Owl House so much.
Yeah. He is very harsh toward her at the beginning. Like, I don't think...
Okay, get out of here. Shut up.
I don't think nowadays you'd have him go, shut up!
Shut up, lady!
And throwing her multiple times.
Almost to her death.
Yes.
I said... I tried to say doom and death at the same time. I said, do it.
Do it. What about you, Father?
I will go 9. I repeat myself all the time, but I love these kind of weird episodes. I really liked her character. I loved how she frustrated pretty much everyone she comes in contact with, but it's sort of like her power, beside being able to make machines malfunction.
Which is actually a pretty cool power if you're ever in a pickle.
It is, and she doesn't even need that against Megatron. She can just sort of annoy him worse than Starscream, who we don't even see Starscream. Oh!
He's not even in this episode.
They needed a scene between Starscream and Astoria, and they'd just be, it'd be like
I'll
a Real Housewives episode or something. Someone would throw wine at someone. But anyway, and I've always loved Power Glide. I have my figures on the shelf right there.
Glider of the Skies?
Yes. And also,
it's a third party.
You know, having such proximity as we do to A-10s, they always have a soft spot in our hearts for that really cool jet. So, it's everything I want in a Transformers in a season 2 Transformers episode. This has been a very high quality streak, I guess. So we had Girl Who Loved Power Glide, Prime Target before this, Autobot, Search for Alpha Trion, The Gambler,
such a good episode,
Child's Play, which, as weird as it is, I appreciate the weirdness. Yeah. So what's next? This is Triple Takeover. I have no idea what that is.
Then it's Sea Change.
Oh, more, yes.
More love stories.
More
with
robo romance.
Not humans.
Yes.
Well, technically anything they want.
All right, everybody. Once again, thank you for a very enjoyable and fulfilling 2022, making the podcast. This is very fun to go through this, and when I check the numbers, there's more and more people listening, more fans. That just means, you know, we're doing something right, and we're happy to have you. It means a lot to us. So onward to 2023 and onward to Triple Takeover. We hope you listen to us next week on an all-new One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you next year.